the line. We'll be fine, sort of thing.
But I talked to Mike after the game or before Saturday night's game about the goal, and what I told him is I thought he didn't really have time and space to make a move to the middle of the goaltender and go up, and he said that you have been telling that there's nowhere to go but up on this guy.
You know, he's a big goalie, and you know, I was watching him during warm-ups on Friday, and he goes down the butterfly, and he's one of those goalies. He's like Ben Bishop from Tampa, mm-hmm. where they get in position and they stand there. They basically have been taught when they go on their butterfly, just go, hold there and then don't move. So basically, the puck's going to hit you. So there's certain places where you can go on a goaltender like that, and you know. Joe Sean will tell you, you go right by the goalie's ears because they can't get their gloves or the blocker by the ears. I was telling him on the bench, go, you got to go by this goalie's ears. You hit him in the head, big deal. You know, it's going to, you know, help us down the road, but you have to go over his ears, and he actually did his backhand right over the goalie's ear, and it went in.
You look at Mike Neville, I mean, doesn't have a ton of goals in his career, but Coach Pearson has always said, this guy can kick in 10 to 12 goals a year, and he looks like he's going to do that this year.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's the kind of guy that you want on your team. I mean, he leads by example. He works hard. I mean, his feet are always moving. He's one of those guys that I love him. I'm you know, being an ex-centerman, I love face-offs, and he takes pride in it, that he wants to be the best at taking face-offs. And Coach Mel will put him out there taking face-offs, and plus, I think him and Reed are part of our best penalty killers. So anytime those two guys are out killing penalties, there's confidence on the bench and those guys to get the job done.
Reed Steros gets the only assist on that because he intercepted the pass in the high slot there, the danger zone just inside of the offensive blue line. Mike Neville gets the goal. That comes at the 16:01 mark. We go to the third period all tied, and we don't score until 18:46 into the period to take our first lead of the game.
Makes a move to the middle, walks in, loses his stick, or lost the defenseman's stick. Penalty is over. Ock has it in the corner. Shot. Went through all the way, back to the point. Here's Roy. Shot, score! And Roy! Scored with 1:14 left to go! 3-2 Michigan Tech!
I was a little excited on that goal. It was it was a big goal. I thought we would have it after that. That was just a great play. Good pressure down in the zone.
Yeah, you know, once again, Coach Mel was preaching to the guys, you know, work behind the net, then go low to high. And, you know, we changed possessions from one corner to the other corner from behind the net. Went from the corner. I believe Mike Neville made the pass from out to Matty Roy, and he just one-timed it, you know, without stopping the puck. And if you look at the replay, the goalie was moving from left to right, and he wasn't even set. And you know, Matty beat him totally clean. So yeah, it was a textbook play of what Coach Mel wanted the boys to do the whole time. And next thing, the puck's in the net.
Now, is that something that Matt Roy, back on the point, knows what he's doing as far as whether it's a good shot to put high and try to beat the goalie by yourself, or put it down where somebody can get a redirect on? Is that something consciously he did on that one, or with the one timing, you're just firing it at the net?
I think he's just firing. He has a hell of a shot. He can shoot it, but I think for the most part, Matty was just trying to get the puck to the net as quick as possible, and then it went up. You know, sometimes he has a tendency of having a high shot, and mm-hmm. So by that time it went in.
That was a great shot.
Well, it beat him clean, and the goalie had no idea, where it was going. When it went right over his shoulder, and like I said, he was moving from left to right. He wasn't set yet. If Matty stops that puck, the goalie gets set. You know, the situation's a little different.
So give us a little idea again. What happens after this? Obviously, they have to pull the goaltender. We get the penalty. What's the vibe on the bench when we have the 6-on-4? And what's the main? I mean, you don't get a chance to defend it 6-on-4 very very often.
No, at that time it's frustrating. You know, to take a penalty, a questionable call for during that time of the game. Basically, you're just trying to tell the guys to play like you've been doing normally. You got to play a little tighter box on the penalty kill, and then any chance you can, doesn't matter. You get the puck out. If you have to get it in the stands, to take another face off, so be it. So basically, I don't want to say you're not. It's not. You got to still stay structured. You can't all start running around and doing it. You just keep it tight, and hopefully they make the mistake and we can get the puck out.
They did a pretty good nice job though of getting this back to the point and taking advantage of the rebound.
Huskies win the faceoff, but it's the Seawolves that will control back at the point. Brown, shot, through, scores! They tied the game up with 24.9 seconds.
again, we've had that, it seems like, a couple times throughout the weekend, and even before I've noticed it, where we seem to win the draw back, but we're not getting possession of the puck.
Well, if you go back to the video, and I was kind of mad at this, and kind of voiced my opinion to the referee, and thank God Mel kind of stopped me. If you go to the video, Matty Roy's right-handed shot, the puck, Mike wins a face-off like he always does. The puck's going down. Matty's just about to take a shot, and all of a sudden the guy basically hooks Matty's stick. And the guy's stick went parallel. I don't care. It's a hook, mm-hmm. you know, and it's right in front of the referee, and so it's pretty blatant. You can call the hook. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to say something that Matty held the guy's stick under his armpit. And my argument was, how can he hold the guy's stick under his armpit when he's trying to shoot the puck? I believe the ref knew that he screwed up, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, they're humans. They'll make mistakes, but it's frustrating when you see it that you look and you go, any other time of a game, that's going to be a hook, and that critical time, that the puck goes outside our zone, and it's going to be 5-on-4 instead of 6-on-4.
So they tie the game up 3-3 with just 24 seconds left to go in the game. We go to the first overtime, the 5-on-5, and we seemingly dominate that with 6 shots to their none.
In that absolutely, and, that's the frustrating part. We're coming in the third period. Once again, Coach Mel's, he's great on the bench. He's telling the guys, keep playing like you can, keep the pressure going, and don't fall off the page. And like you said, we had opportunities to win it in the 5-on-5. So once again, you can't discredit how hard the guys played, the boys in the third and in overtime. So we had the chances, just once again didn't bury the puck.
All right, so we go to the 3-on-3. It goes down as a tie in the NCAA books, but 3-on-3 for the extra point in the WCHA standings, and they get the game winner.
In the offensive zone, Roy back up top for Neville. Swing around, over for Neville. Forced the pass there, and coming back now. Anno coming in, a shot scores. Anno beat Redmond. Blocker sign, and they get the extra point.
So on that one, another one, again, when the 3-on-3, it's such a, as we saw on Saturday, it's just crazy. Breakaways. You're always going to have odd man rushes. And what happened kind of there to give them that opportunity?
Well, once again, going back to Coach Mel on the bench, the boys, watching the NHL, which we do, and also there's a lot of 3-on-3 in the NHL in their games now, is puck possession. You don't want to throw the puck away. You don't want to just throw it blind. You want to make sure if you don't have a play, keep it. If you have to cycle out of the blue line, do it. But you just don't want to throw the puck away and give the team the opportunity to control the puck. So we did that. We did a nice job of controlling it, kind of slowing the pace down. I think Matty Roy, kind of curled up in the zone, tried to make a play. The guy picked it off. It was a slow roller going through, so it was one of those things where this Angus come out to get it sort of thing. It was like, I don't think Angus could have made it, so it was one of those things where, the puck get kind of picked out of their zone, kind of a roller into our zone. The guy, kind of won a foot race over Matty, and the next thing he top shelfed
it. It almost looked like Matt Roy thought he had him and was kind of waiting for the right moment to lift the stick up and maybe mistimed it or whatever.
I think so. I think the guy, Matty's a right-handed, and the guy was left-handed, so he's trying to come on the other side of him to lift his stick up, but, once again, didn't do it, and they scored, so I don't think he wanted to take a penalty, at that time in the game, maybe do it, but it's just one of those things where, it was tough, and I think Angus was between a rock and a hard place. Did he come out and try to play that, so he tried to hold his ground, maybe thought the guy was going to shoot it right away, and the guy, made a quick play and a hell of a shot.
Final shots in the game, 45-27, not counting the 3-on-3, I believe that is, and that's saves. Sorry, that's saves. Where are my shots here? 48-30 in favor of Michigan Tech on the shots. And again, the power play. We're doing so many good things on the power play right now. It's just a shame that we're not able to get more out of that. Hey, coach.
And it's once again, it's a frustration on the players' part because they're doing what they have to do. They're working hard for the puck. They're making great good plays. The puck's just not going in. And it's one of those things where you got to toe the rope. You got to keep doing the exact same thing because you got to. You got to play a group of five out there. I think we had a time out there, a stretch for our power play where guys are trying to be too individual, and it showed. Guys are trying to be guys one-on-one. Guys were shooting when they shouldn't be shooting. Now they realize that. We showed some videos saying you can't do that, and all of a sudden now they're playing better. They're basically moving the puck around. We have great movement. The puck's just not going in. We got to still stay in the same game plan, and things will happen. And then, at this time of the year moving forward, a power play has to be clicking. I think that can be a difference. You can tell the way some of the games are, how many power plays and penalty kills are. But, you know, right now our penalty kill is on fire, and we have to get the power play to that level.
All right, final score was 3-3 in overtime, and the Seawolves get the extra point in the 3-on-3 portion of the WCHA double overtime to get an extra point. They get two, we get one. We go to Saturday night's game when we return with more.